Cheers, everybody. We are back for another edition of Bourbon on a Budget. TJ Pittenger, Ben Cock, Brendan Sinone, and we are joined again by Jimmy Chacho of Gaspar's Liquor Shop in Temple Terrace, Florida. Our favorite place, one of our favorite, I don't want everybody else to get their feelings hurt, but our favorite place to go in and have an experience and buy liquor and hang out with Jimmy. Guys, how are you doing tonight? Jimmy, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Jimmy.
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing? Worked all day. Had a good day. It's calming down. It's calming down. The holidays were great. And now we're relaxing. So doing good. I got home and I'm here with y'all.
Nice. You worked all day and then we're working you some more.
I love it.
Here and putting you to the test. No, we appreciate you coming on and hanging out. We'll try not to keep you too long, but just wanted to see how you were doing. See how things at the shop were going. See if you had any inside info on some new picks coming out. We know you love your picks, and then we'll shoo you on and get you out of here. But man, how were the holidays for you? I mean, you stay up, you never close. Like, it's just wild. But like, the holidays are some of your busiest days. They're pretty insane, aren't they?
You know, as a kid, I've been doing this all my life, and I remember when my father on the South Side where we started. We used to be there Christmas Day, Christmas Eve. Then we spend time with the family at 5 or 6 in the evening. So it's nothing for me to go to work on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. And were we killing it? Yeah. Thanksgiving Day, people were saying, thank you for being open. You know what I told them? Thank you. Thank you. Hey, we had a great, great holiday.
When you get home, what is your did you pour something good when you got home on Christmas Day? Like, what was your what's your holiday pour this year?
Do you know something? I was running hard. Believe me,
water.
I'm running hard. The family's here. I'm not kidding you. We're running. I go from the bar to here. Normally, when I get home, I like to take a shower, defrag. But when the family's here, you're running to another 11 or 12 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I get one of my store picks, and the Peerless has been really good. And I always try to do one of my store picks all the time because I'm so proud of them. And you know something? That's what makes us different. You can go to any liquor store. What I try to do and bring to the table here is our liquor shop picks because that's what makes us different. And I tell people, try it. It's free. Where do you go and get to taste as many as, 400, 500? And if I like you, I open the bottle right then and there. Because it's an experience. That's why you want to come to Gaspar's.
Yeah, I completely agree. So when I'm looking, especially at the end of the year, shopping for a nice bottle of something I don't know about. Like, for example, this year I had to buy a bottle for my boss who's big into scotch, and I have no idea, the best way to approach scotch or, what his preference was, but I go in and, I think you had the entire line of, like Glenmorangie or, Glenfarclas basically just taste
them too.
Everything from like 6 year up to like 17 or 23 year. It was outrageous. And you can just walk into, hey, I want to taste this. And it lets me just say, hey, ooh, I think my boss is going to enjoy this one. Because if I go in there and say, hey, I need a scotch, I don't know what I'm looking for, I'll just be grabbing something blind as opposed to knowing, a little about that. So not only can you taste all the bourbons, you can taste a good amount of scotches there. This is scotch selection that's, probably bar none, some of the best ones in Tampa as
Jimmy's
well.
Jimmy's let me try the rums in there too. We've tried everything.
Oh, and the rums. Jeez.
The only thing we don't try is the vodka because that just makes us straight alcoholics. But like we've tried everything. I don't know if sipping on vodka at 2 in the afternoon is really, something we should be doing, but we didn't even try the rums in there.
What's nice. You know something? You're talking about the single malt scotches. You know what I've always wanted? I always wanted the whole line because when you're there for the experience. And I'm there for you to spend money. So when am I going to tell you, I'll get that next week? No, I get the whole line. My salesmen / partners, and they're my partners. They do a great job with me. They know what I need. We got every different brand you can think of in the whole line.
So first off, before we started recording, I told Jimmy that I got to go to Gaspar's because I'm not from Tampa. So I don't get to go down there very often. I went down to see my dad in St. Pete a few months back, stopped by to see TJ. And on the way to see TJ, I stopped by there. It was legitimately, like, I'm not kissing butt here. Like, it was a legitimately, maybe I am, but it was a really great experience. The Scotch selection was awesome. And the bourbon selection was great. And I got to hear, like, the clerks actually talking about store picks and selling it to just random people who are walking in. And I, like, they were so knowledgeable and passionate about it, Jimmy. It was really cool to see. I do want to throw something to Ben here real quick. Ben,
Yes.
Suggestion for a scotch for your boss for Christmas, we haven't talked about. You called me, asked me for advice. I was thoughtful on it. I looked up stuff. I did research for what his preferences were. And then you just ignored my advice totally and went and asked someone at Jimmy's store. So thank
you. Yeah, you gotta go to the experts, you know. Guys at Gaspar's the experts. That's what you gotta do, man. You ask the experts. You ask the beginners, you don't ask the amateurs, you gotta go to the experts.
Jimmy, how do you end up like procuring experts, like knowledgeable people at your store? Like, you test them? Like, how do you get? There's some stores I go to where they could tell, like, I feel like we know more than the people who are paid to do it. I didn't get the feeling at your place, like, the people were talking about stuff very knowledgeably and it was impressive.
That's a good question.
You know something, trying to find people right now is tough. Sure. The guys I've had, like Bradley, when I say first class, he's been with me for many, many years. Him and I gel together. I take him to Kentucky. I take him on trips with us, so they're part of it. You have it or you don't have it. Listening to Bradley, he's first class. I've got Joe. I've got Sean in there. Sean's been with me 12, 13 years. So when you have people like that, they're passionate. That's why I want my guys to be part of the picking, because they take ownership. And me, I just sit back. Sometimes I like something, but the other guys overrule me. You know what I say? Y'all the boss. Go for it. So as far as getting people to do it, you got to love it. I make an atmosphere over there that you want to come to work. I love going to work. Every day I get up and I'm wanting to go to work. I make that atmosphere.
No, it shows in the way, again, the store clerks talk to the customers. I thought that was, again, one experience for me, and it was obvious. Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome.
We talk about the store too, and you know, I'll pass this back off to Brendan or Ben. We showed the pictures last time. I don't have them right here on the thing ready to go. If I'd been a little bit more prepared, we would have. The pictures don't even do it justice. Like, when you walk in and we tell you, like, this is the largest bourbon selection in Tampa, like, it's not even close. Like, it's the entire wall, and the picture doesn't do it justice. You don't really get, like, the depth, but, like, the number of bourbons and whiskeys that are in this place is insane. And then, like I said, I mean, I you know, anything you're looking for is there. But then, like, the store picks are where it's at. Like, Jimmy, what we've talked about your store picks before. We talked about how much you love them. We talked about how much you enjoy them. Obviously, people love them. They love coming in and trying them and finding stuff. We've talked about several things on here. Ben's going to talk to you about the Blue Note here in a minute. We've reviewed the Peerless. We've done the Old Pepper. We've done so many things. What's next? What's on the way? What's coming? What can we look forward to in 2022?
Let me tell you, I do not believe I have over 30 store picks. I don't know what I was doing last year. I was just buying and buying and buying barrels. But whatever. Four Roses coming out. The barrel strength.
Let's go.
I'm looking forward to that. What else do I have? And it's the OSB, I mean the OBSB. Ooh. I have an Elijah Craig barrel proof coming out.
Yes. Store pick?
Yeah.
We just heard that those existed
they just started and they're amazing. Oh my god.
Pen Hook six year.
Wow.
Let me tell you what I did. So I was invited to go to Vermont, and I went with Wally from Whiskey Willie's. Mm-hmm. Very nice guy. I do picks with Wally, and I like him. And he has a great store, great selection, different atmosphere than mine, but he works a good place. So we went to Vermont. We picked around four different barrels. We're going to split them around, And I'm going to tell you, after you go visit Vermont, you want to drink Whistle Pig. It's cool. The hospitality, they're just good people. And I'm not, I mean, I have good experiences everywhere I go, but and every one of them touches my heart differently, because that's what makes that barrel taste that much barrel for me. Because every time I'm drinking, I'm always thinking about the time that I went with these guys and we were playing ping pong and playing pool and at the campfire outside mm-hmm. while it was snowing. That's what right. I think about. And that's why I like bringing my managers with me to Kentucky and Baltimore for Sagamore. And we're going to take a trip to Vermont. I'm going to take them out there. We're going to have a nice outing there. But they take ownership and you think about that kind of stuff. So am I passionate about it? Yes. Yeah.
TJ and Ben got me for my birthday a pick that you did with Whiskey Willie's, and then I think it was the Tampa Bay Whiskey Society as well. It was yeah. Old Elk's weeded. Which was awesome. Awesome. Really, really great. So what happens, Jimmy? It's kind of like an out of left field question. It's about store picks. I was wondering, like, when you guys go through the process, and you talked about the actual process of it last time you were on with us, what happens in the rare instances when you get like a certain, you don't have to name names here, but when you get like a certain, like, grouping of picks that you maybe don't love, like, can you say, there's nothing here that I really like I'm feeling right I've now? Or is that, okay. What happens?
I've done it. And it's nothing personal. Mm-hmm. It's nothing personal. Right now, we got to move on. We just got to see if there's something different that we can try. We've been to Kentucky trying Russell barrels. We must have tried 8 or 9 of them. Every time we get a Russell's barrel, we sell out within 24 to 48 hours. We kill it. And they're tight that we got to walk. And it's nothing personal. Bring something back. It just didn't hit us. We're just a good old boys over there. We know our profile. We know the profile that's working for us. I've had people bring in our competitors' bottles, and we've tried them side by side. And I'm going to tell you, I'll challenge them. I'll challenge people. Bring your bottles. Let's do a blind tasting. Let's have fun. We put it in a brown bag and let's see who wins. That to me, I don't have a problem with it. I don't mind losing. I mean, I don't lose much, but I don't want to lose.
No, I completely agree.
Well, we've talked about that. On that one.
Yeah, I completely agree. We've talked about that in the past. There are some stores in the area where it's night and day. You go to Jimmy's or, you know, some of the nicer spots, and then you go to these other places and it's really night and day based on the barrels they pick and just who's picking it for them. And I think your team at Gaspar's has a really solid group behind them, solid palate that, you know, it is based on, you know, who's palate like overall, but it just seems like you guys line up with the majority of people most of the time. So definitely my profile or, you know, the palette that I have, you know, kind of matches what your team kind of brings. And I think that just goes to show that, like I said, you guys hire experts and you guys have really solid people that work with you guys. So
we got passion.
Yeah. That comes through. Like you talked about when you go to Vermont and you drink with those folks at Whistle Pig, or you go to Kentucky and obviously there's a billion distilleries there and stuff, like, it's not, there's a lot of good whiskey out there. Right. And so, like, what kind of sets it apart? Well, for us, it's the same thing. We want to drink people, you know, whether it's you or whether it's Tommy or whether it's Susan, like, whoever, right? Like, we want to drink people that we know that we're supporting. People always talk about, like, supporting your local stores. And we feel blessed here in Tampa where there are, I mean, several good stores that people can go to. And then you've got, like, the Tribunal and the Tampa Whiskey site. There's a lot of different stuff. Poor Brendan's up there with, like, one store that does picks
yeah.
here and there, you know, like barely ever gets anything.
I got so excited when I was down there visiting. I stopped at a couple stores before I got to Jimmy's because I was coming in from St. Pete, and I loved this Sagamore cognac finished one that I sampled at a certain store. I got it for TJ as a housewarming gift. I got it for myself. No, I got you something else, TJ. I got that for myself. That's right. But I let you guys
buy me anything.
And then I ended up stopping at Jimmy's, was the last stop I made, and they had the same pick there, and it was $10 less. And I played myself.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I price to sell. Let me tell you, I want a fast pickled and a slow dime. Okay. That's what I'm looking for. I need to get it on. Okay. It's chop chop with me.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I mean, we are bourbon on a budget, and so we love a good deal if we ever see one. And what I have been talking about constantly over the past month and a half is your Blue Note pick that comes in at $36.99, 123.4 proof. Gosh, what a steal of a deal.
He won't stop talking about it, Jimmy.
So talk to me about Blue Note. Where did you guys come across that? That was a complete group that I never heard of prior to this. And they are absolutely killing it with their price and their proof, and their juice is amazing.
Let me tell you, that's Scott from Breakthrough. And these guys that are working with me, when I say partners, he's super good. So he got me. I'm on my third barrel. I think that was my second or third barrel.
And, bring another one.
No. I could price it more if I want to, but I'm happy with my points because you know something? You're talking about it. And I'm looking for the next barrel, but it's getting tougher. There's a lot of places opening up liquor stores and I got to fight for barrels. That's why I have to make sure I do everybody right. It's all about relationships. They want to partner up with the best. Why would you not want to partner up with me where you can try over 30 store picks right now? Where can you go? I mean, I don't know where you can go and have the experience you have and try a $100 bottle before you even think about buying it. That to me, that's a place to be. And the cleanliness,
Jimmy does it all over there. I've seen him unloading trucks. I've seen him cleaning up spills. I've seen him pouring liquor. I've seen him ringing people out. Jimmy, you know, Jimmy's the man over there. So, hey, we've talked about this a little off air. We've talked with Bradley about it a little bit. We're excited to potentially do a pick with you. I know Ben's voting hard for the Blue Note. He's going to cry if it ends up being something else. It could be Pappy Van Winkle and he'd cry that it wasn't Blue Note.
But, Blue Note's so good.
You know what I'm going to do? Scotty from Breakthrough, he's out of town. He will not be in. Because if that was the case, I'll be on the phone with him and saying, look, we got to book it really, really quick. I'll get you on the Blue Note tasting, and I'll have you from start to finish. From start to finish, I'll have it with y'all. Yeah. So that right there, you can take an ownership of it. And at that time, if you don't like it, we have to pass. We'll make it you three. Yeah, there you go.
He's and loaded we'll put anyway.
A sticker
who cares?
On it. I think we can have a good time. Picking one of those out. So he won't be back until next week. After that, I'll find out and I'll get a barrel.
Absolutely. Cool.
Awesome.
It'll be fun. Looking Jimmy, tell people the address. I don't have it off the top of my head. Tell people the address, where you guys are, where they can follow you, where they can see your stuff. We appreciate you hanging out. Hopefully we didn't keep you too long, but tell people about the store and we'll go from there.
Hey, let me tell you, we're in Temple Terrace. It's Gasper's Patio Bar and Grill in Temple Terrace. We're right down the street from the Hard Rock Cafe. It's a family-owned and family-ran business. My father opened up in 1960. I took it over in 1989, and I knew what I was looking for. I built the whole entire place. So it's easy to get somebody to come in one time, but my goal has always been getting you in there again and again and again. Because I got people that travel all over the place to be able to try different things. And at the end of the day, what you can do, you can go on the patio, bring your dog, go into the bourbon bar, have something to eat. We've got good food. We got good food. And I pride myself for the cleanliness of the place. So that right there, and I'm there every day. What makes Gasper's is me. The guy right here. It's the guy that wakes up every day, opens up them doors, and I'm the orchestra leader, and I get it going. And that right there, I hope you always have a good experience. We're not going to always bat 1,000. We're not. we're not going to always bat 1,000, but I damn well try to do it. Even if I get a good average hit, that's all I'm looking for. And I appreciate y'all coming in there.
We love it, man. We love stopping in. Anytime I'm around, my mother-in-law works like right down the road. So I drop the kids off all the time. I'm like, hey, I'm going to see Jimmy. It's like, did you stop by this job? I just had to go see him. Were you trying to bourbon again? But anyway, now we appreciate you coming on. I'm sure we'll be back in later this week and see you and say hello. But thank you for hanging out, man. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys. Hey, be good. Thank you.
Thanks, look, Jimmy.
Love from all Tommy, too.
Oh, look at that.
All right, man. You got it, man. Thank you.
You bet. Jimmy's awesome, man. Appreciate him coming on. Like I said, we really are. We're blessed in the Tampa Bay area. You know, I feel, you know, Jason mentioned it too. South Central Georgia, tough to get picks, man. We've got some great places to get picks around the Tampa Bay area. We've done the rapid reviews. You know, we've done a lot of them with Gaspar's. We've done a lot of them with David Off and the Tampa Bay Whiskey Society and those guys that do them. And man, I'm glad I don't live in Tallahassee like Brendan does, because
the worst
the store. Yeah. The store picks that'd are be the worst. That's where we're at. So
yeah. Market Square Liquor does a good job with it too. They do take pride in it, but there's not a whole lot of, I think like the competition that you guys are like, it forces everyone. Jimmy kind of talked about this. There's always someone that's trying to buy barrels and yeah, you guys are with two big cities nearby. Know what that's like, so that's nice.
Just move down here and you can go all drink right. It David Off on a Tuesday with me.
I heard the housing market's great in Tampa right now. Yeah,
you just live with Ben. You just live with Ben.
Okay, Ben.
You can live in the ravine.
I love it. Jimmy comes on, man. Obviously Jimmy talked about this too. He's very passionate about his store. We love that. Love to see the passion that comes through. You know, there's a lot, I was trying to say this to him too, but again, there's a lot of good juice out there, but it's the guys that you kind of start to develop a relationship with, and you want to support them and you want to drink with them. We've talked about why we got into bourbon, when we drink, and it's family and it's friends and people you want to be around and associate with and stuff like that. So I appreciate him for coming on for sure. I want to continue to do that. We'll kind of jump into the main part of the show then too. I was actually, Brendan, how about this? I broke hole 30 a little bit today. Speaking of Tommy on here commenting, well, I walked into David Off today just to see what we were.
You've broken hole 30 multiple times now. Yeah. Today it was like this one time.
Yeah, TJ's bourbon. TJ's on like hole 30 minutes.
Jeez. Well, I had no plans to get anything to drink. I had to be down in that area. I walk in just to say hi to Tommy, and he says, hey man, have you had my Stag Junior pick? And I was like, yeah, I have. It's really good. And he was like, I have some more. You know, it was like, what am I gonna do? Turn that down? And I was
Tommy's like, God, oh, yeah, just
awesome. A little bit. And I was just like, oh, whatever. It'll be fine. Really
if
good
you,
stuff.
If you insist,
we did. Ben and I did a rapid review of their Wilderness Trail last week. I'm going to send you a sample of the bourbon. You know what? You probably like the weeded a lot too. The weeded, I like the bourbon more than the weeded, but your
bourbon was so vanilla. More of
I have not had a vanilla bomb like that.
I
feel like bourbon so much are like caramel, and I loved the vanilla on this. Really, really good stuff. I'm even more excited again. Screw hole 30. It's content. You got to do what you got to do for content.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing the peerless ones. We're doing the David Off Peerless Rye and Bourbon this week. Those are two that I'm excited about.
TJ loves some Peerless.
Dude, before you guys got on the Peerless train, I've been on this Peerless train. I got Tommy's pick 2 years. It was the very end of 2020. Yeah, two picks ago. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. It was a Beef and Leaf. So it was David Off and Beef and Leaf, beef for
Burns. Best name
Leaf.
In town. Best I get it. Name Leaf. In town. Beef and Leaf. Gosh, forget
that pick. Thing. Oh my goodness. That I cried when that bottle finished. Like that was so good. Jimmy
seems dramatic.
Tommy was telling me today that their Peerless pick coming up that comes out this year is gonna be 6 years old. Their rye that comes out. Ooh, I am. Wow. So that'll be the
nice
oldest
age
one
for
done
a
yet.
Rye. Yeah. Well,
I want them to do a Sagamore 6 year rye pick. Oh, that'd be good. Good.
Well, talk to Tommy. So anyway, so I had that, and then I didn't stop there. He went to, I shouldn't say this out loud because Brendan's going to get upset. But he also had a Sazerac Rye store pick. It was his personal bottle. It was for his birthday. And he was like, hey, this is my bottle. You can have some of this. And I was like, what was I going to do? Say like, no, I'm not going to drink your birthday bottle.
How was it?
How disrespectful. Amazing. It was freaking great.
I'm sure it was.
It was so good. That would have been disrespectful if
you turned it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love Baby Saz. It was really, really good. Actually, I think from a store out in California, we were talking about that. I think he was saying like Texas and California have it. Florida doesn't yet. I don't know what's up with Florida, man. Like,
come on, Florida.
We're not getting that. I don't know if it's Florida's fault or Buffalo Trace's or what, but I don't know. I'd love to have a I would love to have a Sazerac Davidoff pick. Like, how sick would that be?
Ben, whatever you're doing with your hand, above so we can see what you're there you go. Thank you.
Spinning.
Are you still drinking that? Are you still drinking the sample or did you pour something else?
I definitely poured something else.
Oh my god, you guys you're on hole 30.
You're on hole 30, dude.
Oh my god, Ben's getting blasted tonight. Is that obliterated?
Was that a Jack?
It's the Coy Hill.
The He's Coy Hill, baby.
Shittered.
It has
oh
to
God.
Open up. It has to
All right.
it open up.
All right,
has it opened
it,
up some?
Move it on. We got
it's
another
chocolatey.
We got
way chocolatier.
Can you bring it over
not
after?
A poke. Nope. Oh sorry. Hole 30.
You're the worst. All right. We got a lot of stuff to get through. And
just a little time.
We'll jump into the main part of the show. Thank you for those that are still hanging out. Yes. We got a lot of viewers on Twitter tonight. So that's cool.
Thanks, everyone.
How's your OnlyFans doing?
Cheers to the nose. Nose in the house. What up, what up?
Cheers to the nose. Oh, yeah.
The N-O-E-S, not my nose. The N-O-E-S. Yeah.
What's up, dude? Hope they're doing great. They're my fave.
They're definitely right. The favorite couple that watches our show that we appreciate them watching. There's no other couple that watches the show that we like more than them.
No couple knows bourbon like this couple.
Couple knows the trouble.
All right, Brian, tell us what we're getting into tonight. This is your idea for a segment. You get to intro it.
This was an idea that I had.
Take the wheel. Take the wheel.
Forrest, if you zoom in on me, I will.
Brendan, take the wheel.
Reduce your pay. No, he's trying to. He doesn't know quite how to do it. He's moving us. Oh, damn you, Forrest.
Zoom
damn
on
you.
In.
I just did it. I just figured I'd have him an assist.
Did you move us over too?
Yourself he did it. That.
It yeah, doesn't matter. All right.
It's okay, unknowable.
This was an idea that I had as we were trying to think of content to do for this month while Ben and TJ were supposedly on hole 30. Now as I'm seeing this now, they were both fraudulent in this attempt, and we could have just been doing our normal content of trying different whiskeys and whatnot. But I thought this would be a good experiment and good thing to talk about for like 10 minutes or so. And that's what's on a bourbon label, what we value on a bourbon label. And listen, like bourbon has blown up so much in the last 4 or 5 years or so. And it's started all these craft distilleries, and there's all these different rules and regulations that are changing for what has to be on a bourbon label. So I thought it'd be relatively interesting to kind of go over what needs to be on there, what you guys should look for if you're, say, you're new into bourbon, like what are a few things that you should be like valuing, what we value, and maybe let like Ben crap on a couple of different like poor labels that he doesn't like. So I thought that'd be fun. We can get into it here in a minute if you guys want to. That'll be that. I hate that this is zooming in on me. I really don't like it.
Sounds good. Tommy also brought up Market Square used to be the place when old man Jim owned it. Is he not the – Brendan, how long – I don't know how long ago that was.
No, Jim does not own it now.
Well, that's what he was saying when he did.
But no, I mean, that not since I've been in Tallahassee the last 4 or 5 years or so, to my knowledge.
They did a good – so I really did like their they did a good Four Roses pick.
Mm-hmm. They do a good job with picks. Like they do take pride in that, and they send guys up to like Kentucky and stuff like Jimmy was talking about. Like it is something that they do well for sure.
They just don't have any competition in Tallahassee, right? And so like they could, you know, competition's healthy. Like it's a good thing to have.
Iron sharpens iron, as I like to say on the football field, TJ.
Yeah.
Or in the Bible.
Oh. Yeah. Is that biblical?
It's not the gridiron. Sharpens iron.
You know, like Jesus and Walter Payton. All right, so Brendan.
The gridiron sharpens gridiron.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Brendan, you intro us, you let us in. What is the first thing you look for on a bourbon label?
I'm looking at like five different bourbon labels. I mean, the name is important, so I'm trying to not do something obvious. I think proof is like one of the first things my eyes go to, because there is a semblance of like, I know if it's like 80 proof, I send it back, right? Like, that's not something that I'm super interested in at this point in my bourbon journey. Even 90, probably not. It's got to be like 100 or above for really to pique my interest, unless it's something special or unique or in that range. So I'd say proof is up there. And we get into the nuts and bolts and other things, but proof is a pretty good starting point of like telling you whether something's going to be in your wheelhouse or not. Conversely, if you don't like proof, if you're new into bourbon, probably pay attention and get yourself like a barrel strength, like 120 proofer. That might be a little ambitious.
Ben, do you have something you look for? We'll get kind of more into the script and stuff, but is there something you look for specifically when you're looking at a label?
Yeah. So I definitely start generally just kind of reading over what it says. And that may just seem obvious, but a lot of people are just like, oh, I look at the name and that's it. But for example, Wilderness Trail, it prints its entire mash bill.
Love that. Awesome. I love that.
You know, it just says,
that's the one we rapid reviewed. So if you haven't watched that yet, go back to our YouTube and watch it. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, this is Tommy's and Timboy Society Wilderness Trail. It says 64% corn, 24% rye, and 12% malted barley. Right? Like that's great. It also tells you the age. So this is 4 years and 3 months. Seems that's super reasonable.
Oddly that you specific would like to, in a good way.
That you would like to know. Also, the same thing with this Jack Daniel's Coy Hill release. It tells me the date it was barreled and then the date it was bottled. So I know exactly how old it is. But proof. Some of the words that I enjoy seeing kind of on a bottle are, I like seeing single barrel. That's just because I can relate to it. It's just one barrel. It's not a big, it's not a batch. Small batch in my head means nothing to me. It doesn't really mean anything in general. I also like to see non-chill filtered. I really like that idea of not pulling out any flavors, not adding any flavor. So non-chill filtered, and cask strength, meaning I'm not watering this down at all. It's whatever went into the barrel. It's the same thing as coming out of the barrel. Nothing added, nothing taken away, through filtering. So just as a point of reference, that's kind of the markers that I'm looking at, on a general base level. And then if you want to get really specific about distilled by and bottled by, we're looking at what distilleries they come from and that kind of stuff, because a lot of theirs are like non-distiller producers, that kind of thing. So
that's super important, and we'll get into that. But Ben, that's like a part that people, especially now, like there's a lot of vagueness in that realm sometimes where it shouldn't be. And I think that's also super important to be transparent about where your stuff's coming from. Like, we all like source stuff. But let us know that it's just sourced or blended by you. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll get into all these nuts and bolts here. But there's a ton of information that should be on the label. Sometimes it's on there. Sometimes it isn't.
You mentioned the Wilderness Trail. I love – yeah, a couple of things Ben brought up that I wasn't even thinking about. And I'm thinking like front labels, right, when we talk about labels. But, yeah, I love stuff that says when it was bottled and when it was dumped. Obviously, we think about Blanton's having a dump date on it. Evan Williams – single barrel has a bottled and dump date on it. I love when, you know, the one that you mentioned, the Wilderness Trail, also has the dump date. I love the recipe on it as well. You talked about that. I love when Four Roses does the OBSK or OBSV or OBSR, like whatever the label. I love knowing, not that I even know what that means, but I love the recipe being on the side of it. We talk about the stave profiles with makers. I love seeing those stave profiles. I was talking with Sean about those the other day and think that that's really, really cool that you can kind of, you know, something is all the French French toasted oak. Well, it's going to be very toasted, right? Like, it's pretty straightforward. If it's all the mocha, it's going to have a lot of chocolate. So I like that stuff a lot. I think that's really, really cool. What about, okay, let's do this and then we'll kind of go again. What about the aesthetics of a label? We've talked about how like some labels kind of turn you off just because of the way they 100%. Look. Okay. So without naming any bottle specifically, trying to think like bigger picture, more macro here. What do you like and what do you not like on a label? Like, is less more? Do you like to see more? Is like more detail important? You know, like, you think about makers, very, very – straightforward type label. Jack Daniels, kind of maybe in the middle, you know, pretty straightforward label, but really cool, very set apart, different looking. So anyway, what do you like, not like about a label just in general?
Ooh, so I got I'm like a bug where I'm attracted to like different colors and light and whatnot. So like it doesn't have to be super pretty, but if it's unique, so Colonel E.H. Taylor, just beautiful yellow, actually kind of an ugly yellow, but it's unique yellow. It's like this mustardy yellow. Who else has a mustardy yellow label on their bottle? It's like a wine bottle. It's nothing super fancy, but you see this in the store, your eyes are immediately go to it. Even when I first got into it, and now obviously beat into bourbon, like, you know, that is something appealing and to look for. 1920 Old Forester Prohibition style. I got intrigued by it because it had like a turquoise blue lettering on it. And that's literally like something that intrigued me early on. So I know that sounds really stupid and simplistic, but yeah, it's got cool labeling on it, like beyond just what actually like the statistics are. To me, that's something that is a bonus if you can find a way to make it look a little unique or splashy, because there's so many options out there, right? If it's boring, like this Old Scout is, which maybe we'll review this later, and I really like this.
What a nightmare label that is.
Gutter palettes. It is an awful label, though. It's like just Jeez. Looks like a Crayola crayon. Someone in kindergarten just drew that. So, yeah, you got to be unique, got to stand out a little bit. That helps you a ton. Ben, anything that you look for?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I go back and forth between importance of bottle shape and importance of label. I really don't like any of my whiskey to be mistaken with wine. And so like my Noah's Mill, Rowan's Creek, mm-hmm. all of those bottles, like the anytime it's supposed to look like papyrus and and they're papyrus type font, it bothers the crap out of me.
If you're going to do that, put it on the little grenade, right? Because then it's like on a blade. It's, not and it's very fine,
you know? And so and
when they're giant and tall like this too, they don't fit in my whiskey cabinet, which is something else that like.
Also, that's very like I have two shelves in whiskey cabinet. One's tall and then one's short. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I can find a bottle that fits in my short shelf, it's freaking amazing. It's like all my Peerlesses are on the top shelf and they're short enough to fit up there.
It's your blank shelf.
Trail can fit up there. It's great. But pretty much everything else doesn't. Elijah Craig, too tall. All the Old Forester stuff, way too tall. And so that's just weirdly specific for me. That should have no bearing on anybody's. And also, like I said, the label and bottle make no difference on anything in general. But it's just weird preferences, well, marketing, that kind of thing.
It is what attracts your eye to certain things. Like, think about what Horse Soldier does, where their label is kind of etched out a little bit.
It's almost
bit,
like right? stamped metal.
Yeah. And so that's an attractive looking bottle. Four Roses with the roses blown into the front of the glass on their single barrel. Hey, a bottle that I look for a ton is anytime there's an old man smoking a really thin cigar on the front of a bottle. To me, that is a very attractive label and a bottle that I... Nick.
Even though it's like a wine bottle, you're
of,
okay
I was just
that.
Thinking of Pappy's.
We got yeah, it. Was, no, we understood. Yeah. Whoosh,
ben didn't get it.
No, he got it. He just thought it was awful and wanted to drag you forward.
Well, you're sure. awful. Brendan, there are requirements with labels. Let's take this to the not fun part of the episode.
Yeah, I'll go through this quickly.
Information is important. We want to be informative and entertaining.
Yeah, so, there are about some of the things that you absolutely need to legally buy: the alcohol, tobacco, firearm, whatever the ATF.
It's the ATF.
The ATF. Some people don't know what that is, though. There are things that you legally need to have. The government says it has to be on there. Now, side note: because the ATF has been bombarded with this whiskey boom in the last like 3 to 5 years. Some stuff is kind of slipping through the cracks a little bit, getting, you know, pushed past the goalie there. And yeah, so there's some of these things aren't being as enforced as strictly or as stringently as they're supposed to be. But anyways, here's the things that you need real quick. You need a brand name on it. Duh. You need to know what kind of whiskey it is.
Duh.
Duh. Makes sense, right? Alcohol content. Duh. So you need to know how much like proof it is. Was that just condescending?
Yeah, a little.
State of distillation is important. This is something that like, gets missed sometimes. And there's some rules, like the state of distillation, if you're sourcing it, we'll get into it in a little bit, but there's some loopholes here that some companies find. The net contents of it, which I don't know what that means. The name and address of bottler, is that really volume on the label? Age of the whiskey containing neutral spirits. If it's a brandy, you have to name the age of the brandy. The presence of neutral spirits, coloring, flavoring, or blending materials. So if it's like blended with something, you have to let them know. And then the country of origin, if it is not domestic. So that's those are some of the guidelines. And obviously, like, if it's a bourbon, there's guidelines to what, you know, it has to be categorized as a bourbon. If it's a wheated whiskey, if it's a rye, et cetera, things like that. I spit when I said that. Sorry.
Artwork can be fun too. Jason just brought up the Redwood Empire artwork. Artwork is really, really cool.
I hear that.
Really pretty.
Sometimes
really
artworks can go way over the top though. Like, have you ever seen, the Fistful of Bourbon artwork?
Yeah, it's a lot going on there to where it's almost just
a lot going on. It kind of like,
but we remember it too. We're talking about it.
It is remarkable for sure. It made the episode. Love what Kentucky Spirit does with that label. I love that gold that sticks out, and then it's got the bottom label on the bottom too.
Billets is classic. It like looks like an old, like I'm looking at it now, like it looks like an old, like a house sigil kind of. I bought Redwood Empire strictly because of the label and how it looked. I thought it was cool looking.
Widow Jane Decadence, really, really good. The way it's got that gold shimmer in it.
Oh, and great juice in there, too. It's Joe Decadence's favorite bourbon and whiskey in the world.
I had to explain to Kara, like, she was like, oh, does he not want, he was on, what, 2 weeks ago? Oh, no, Thursday night when we did the Stetson Bennett episode. She was like, does he just not want his real name out there? And I was like, oh, no, we've dubbed him Joe Decadence. I had to walk her through that whole story. But
AKA Joe Decadence.
Hey, even some bourbons that we don't love, like, I like the Basil Hayden label. It's a lot going on with that extra little thing on the front, but that's cool. Put some extra effort into that. You have a bottle of Basil Hayden? Oh,
I do.
Russell's Reserve. I'm looking at my, like, Russell's Reserve is super simple, but like, especially the barrel strength one that's red. Or is this, was this not cask strength? Single barrel. That's the word. Sticks out.
I love the Bullet labels. I think they're very classic.
I saw a Bullet bottle in Deadwood, which was a show in the 1800s. Why would Bullet be there?
Did they even have bullets back then? Well, I guess they did. Shot her.
They did have bullets, real bullets.
Deadwood, there's a lot of bullets.
I mean, that was kind of like the frontier time frame. I mean, it kind of makes sense, I guess.
No, I get why. Like, that's what they're going for. That's what Bullet's doing. But, like, do you think they had this specific bottle? And, like, whatever, let's move along. Sorry. Continue.
Anything else on labels you guys want to touch before we get on down the road?
Oh, let's see. I got, like, I'm going to ask you guys a couple questions real quick, whether you think it's important or not, whether it matters on a label. So, does small batch matter on a label?
No.
Useless.
Don't care at all.
Yeah, so E.H. Taylor here.
Small batch doesn't matter.
If you have the picture pulled up of the E.H. Taylor, it's not in order, but feel free to pull it up. If not, no worries. We're just going to test Forrest here. Let's see. Moving on to single barrel. Does the label single barrel matter to you guys?
Yes.
Very much so.
I said it first. I was the winner.
All right. Does the label of saying something is since like 1763, since 1789, does that matter to you?
No.
No. Most of those are made up.
That's all marketing.
Unless I like the idea of 1920 being kind of remash build to like be similar recipe of those time periods. So I like
you're that. Right, but I think that's
but
different.
Them establishing themselves. Yeah,
right. That's garbage.
That's still marketing. That's effective marketing. Right. In a way to say we're trying to emulate.
Like the idea, that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Proof, yes, right?
Proof, yes. Very important.
All right. Bottled in a certain location.
Bottled? I don't know that bottled, I care as much. Distilled, probably.
Distilled in location, yes.
Probably. Yeah. Well, it just tells more of a story, you know? Like for example, if you have like a...
I will say bottled, maybe. Let's go back one.
Okay.
Would you ever have whiskey that was aged in one state and then transported and bottled somewhere else? No, you'd bottle it.
Yes.
You'd bottle it where you aged it, right?
No.
Not necessarily. No, like
all source smoke wagon. Not bad.
Smoke wagon is even like really like it. So it's supposed to be MGP juice, but like where it's actually it's bottled, it's distributed in, is it Nevada? But like I don't even know. Like it's kind of a secret where it's actually aged. Yeah. At a certain point.
Now that I wouldn't care about bottled. I care more about where it was aged.
Yeah, and I think bottled like matters to an extent. Like, I mean, where you end up aging it, like if it's right before, like with in a winery or something like that. I mean, it matters, but yeah, where it's distilled is where it matters the most, right?
Yeah.
So if we have it, I'm going to show it up here. If we do have
unless you're Jefferson's and you just age it at sea.
At sea, which I'm going to say people think that's gimmicky. I don't think that's bullshit. I taste.
It's definitely gimmicky, but it freaking works.
I taste brine with it. Like I taste the saltiness with it. No, maybe it's all just
power of persuasion.
No, we will do a blind.
You think
test.
It's aged on the deck? You think it's put up freaking in the waves?
Do you think I will give you guys some
right? And these whiskey. are wooden ships from like the 1700s.
They're just sitting on the deck next to pirates.
You know, yeah, I do. I assume that it's on top
with,
and
that guy with a peg leg and an eye patch is yeah. freaking swirling just, around.
Whatever. Just like falls over the barrels.
I tasted
every,
a little
like,
parrot
wave.
Poop in that one.
The parrots just whatever. All right, so Bullet Bourbon. I'm going to show this here. So
right,
I have a few issues with this.
MGP, yeah.
It is distilled. Well, the rye is definitely MGP. There's been a confusion and contention. Oh God, Forrest.
Jump Forrest. Where you go,
TJ? I hate you. So there's been some contention on who actually sources some of Bullet's stuff. I think they came out a couple years ago and had to clarify that it was Four Roses. The reason why this is confusing is this is distilled and aged in the Bullet family tradition. That means
nothing.
Nothing. Nothing at all. At the back here, we'll say bottled in, let's see if I get this to where you guys can see it, in Louisville, Kentucky.
You just need to buy this bottling company.
Saying where it's distilled. So going back to the ATF's rules and regulations, I think the loophole here, if I'm not mistaken, is if it's not the same city or state where it's distilled in, then you have to specify it. So like if you're getting MGP juice from Indiana and then you're then bottling it in Kentucky, you have to say we got this from Indiana. If you're bottling it in Louisville, Kentucky, and it's being distilled at a separate distillery in Louisville, Kentucky, you don't really have to specify it. So there was a lot of confusion for quite a while on where Bullet stuff was distilled by. They are partially for this vague label responsible for that confusion. They had to come out and clarify it. I don't think anyone has an issue with stuff being sourced. I don't think particularly a whole bunch of people really care that much about it. Just be transparent about it. And like, you know, who does a great job of being transparent? Well, shout out Chattanooga Whiskey. They are
Chattanooga.
Freakishly transparent. They give you the mash bill. They give you the fermentation, how long it's attemperated. They give you the cooperage on it. They give you the filtration size. They give you the age. They give you the batch size. They tell you how they go about with their malted barley process, how they go about like roasting it and stuff. They are super freakishly transparent, and that is appreciated as a whiskey nerd and consumer. And that's my spiel on labels.
Ooh, Ben, do you have anything else on labels?
Big fan of, dang it, now I know. Oh, Bardstown. Bardstown Discovery Series. If you look on their labels, they're like a blending bottler or producer, and they'll put, we have 38% of this mash bill distilled in this state. Boom. 45% of this mash bill. And they'll lay it out. It's crazy transparent. So there's a lot of producers will put that out. Some won't, but you know, just support the guys that do. So anyway,
yep.
Back to you, TJ.
Cool. Let's jump in. I like that segment. That's a good, I mean, people, it's just, you know, not a lot of people talking about.
That was good filler.
I mean, you know, it's important.
Fill it up.
It's important to know, important. Oh, what we didn't ask about, anything to like beware of or not?
Ooh, you're not? Real quick, speaking of no, apparently Jennifer says it's no we, so we've been pronouncing it wrong for like 2 months. But I'm just going to keep calling you guys no. Jennifer, are you sure? Because
no, no, for there is no way pronouncing that wrong. get out of here.
Anything to beware of? I mean,
I'll be right back. Keep it going.
I mean, there are certain things that we don't think are particularly
it's
important.
It's not being aware of. It's just being, or not being weary of, it's being aware of. Like, it's just more of rule of exclusion than a rule of inclusion. Not going to be like, oh yeah, this is really overpriced, or this is really not good. It's more of just, hey, we're not going to tell you where this is from, so just, we're going to charge you $150 for it. For example, I want to say 2 years ago, there was a huge source of like Dickel 15 product that was out there, and everyone was charging like either $120 or $200 for it. It was all the same juice, but all these small kind of like local producers were just like, hey, we're going to bottle it this way and sell it for $200, or bottle it this way and sell for $125. So anyway, you can look it up. It's, you know, it's a little while ago.
Yeah. The only other thing I'll add, then we can move on, is we mentioned small batch, something that like you're not, whatever, don't, that doesn't mean a ton of anything. Craft or handcrafted, or talking about like the soup, like how long this family recipe has been along for. That's all just stuff that's part of marketing. And while marketing is like part of what we pay for and could be cool for a bottle of bourbon, just know like that it does, or know we, that it doesn't matter anything at all for what you're actually drinking. That's it.
A couple of listener questions. We'll do proceeds and purchases and get out of here. Dolphins with a Z 562. As much as I've tried to sip on bourbon straight, no ice, I just can't do it. It's just not for me, but something keeps making me want to try. I don't know if I'm starting off with the right one. I have a bottle of Russell's Reserve single barrel and Maker's Mark 46. You guys have thoughts? I have an answer here for him, but thoughts from you guys. Listener question.
So,
a little tough time sipping on bourbon.
Dolphins. So, first off, those are two good bottles of bourbon you got there. However, Russell's Reserve single barrel is going to be proofed at what, 110? It's going to be a little spicier, right?
If it's a store pick, it's 110. I think the regular is 100.
I think you're wrong. Is that wrong? I'm pretty sure you're wrong. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. It's either at 90 or 110. There's no in between there, except for my proprietary blend that I have right behind me there.
Oh,
it's
single barrel. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Oh, yeah, So anyways, that's a super...
I was just thinking the 10-year.
How embarrassing for you. It was super spicy. Maker's 46, even though it's proofed, I think closer to the 90-ish range, maybe a little bit more than that. It's got the stave profiles in it. That's going to make it a little spicier. So what you're talking about is two pretty spicy, peppery, heat forward bourbons. I would say maybe tone it down a little bit. Keep trying it with ice for a little bit until you realize, like, okay, maybe this is a little boring for me. I would either get a bottle of Gentleman Jack, which is going to be not offensive and super mellowed out with the double or triple mellowing charcoal process they use. It's not going to be bad at all. It's just kind of, to me, boring, but if you're trying to get used to some of the spice with it and get used to some of the basic flavors, it's going to have vanilla, it's going to have banana, it's going to be like a little woody. That's about it. Maybe Four Roses single barrel at 100 proof, because it can drink a little smoother in a way. Or maybe just Russell's Reserve that Ben likes, just the standard 10-year at 90 proof. I would go with those three. Try those with ice. Once you're done with the ice, don't jump to neat. Get yourself some like some rock, like little metal cubes or whatever. What are they called, guys?
Whiskey stones. Don't ever do that.
Whiskey stones. What do you mean don't ever do that? Because they make the glass explode?
It's garbage. Don't do that.
If you
I was
want...
I say maybe...
Whiskey stones are the worst.
If you're trying to transition from rock on the rocks to neat, that's a good in between to keep having it cool. Where
on the rocks to neat is you just add a splash of water.
Yeah, and I think that's not a bad idea either.
I think that's a transition after you take the whiskey stones out. Ben, not everyone's as chiseled and loves proof as much as you.
I think whiskey stones are the most gimmicky thing I've ever seen in my life.
I will say, if you're drinking it, if you like it kind of cold and some of that chill takes some of it off, the whiskey stones keep it from getting watered down. So I do see the appeal there. I don't want to cold
it.
Just
throw it in the fridge for a second.
Also, maybe Buffalo Trace. Buffalo Trace would be a really good suggestion, I think, as well. It's a little harder to find, not as easy, but we've talked about picking out some of the apple, some of the caramel on that. If if you can't, you know, you've got a few different paths to go, right? You can go with the whiskey stones. You can go with throwing a little water in it. You can go Buffalo Trace. If you try all of those paths and you can't drink Buffalo Trace neat, drinking neat just may not be for you at this point. Your palate may change, and put a couple flicks of water in it, and you may, I mean, just drink what you like. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't like it with water. I don't like it with ice, but you might, and that's totally fine. Like, don't let somebody else make you feel bad for the way that you drink. Julian Van Winkle, who basically started the Pappy Van Winkle line of whiskey, drinks his bourbon, good bourbon, right? Like Pappy and Weller and stuff that we can't even get access to, with on the rocks with a lemon twist, right? Literally puts a squeeze of lemon into his whiskey. Can drink Pappy 23 every day for the rest of his life if he wants to.
Must be nice.
Just drink whiskey the way you like it. If you like a splash of Coke, I'm not going to give you any of my good whiskey, but drink it however you like it. It doesn't matter. It's not like if you have to put ice in, you have to put ice in. It's not a big deal.
As the whiskey tribe guys say, the best whiskey is the whiskey you like to drink, how you like to drink it. Ben would probably recommend that you do a Blue Note 120 proof, I'm sure. The last suggestion I would have too, maybe get yourself a Glencairn. And yes. And Glencairns are supposed to help some of the like the ether and the ethanol, whatever it is, that the burn that comes out of whiskey. It's supposed to help kind of like the way it comes out of here. Just kind of go past your nose a little bit and make it a little bit more palatable in a way. So also, try that maybe potentially as well.
To go off of Brendan's, have you tried just nosing the whiskey? I know that kind of sounds weird, but you see us do that quite often, where we just kind of like, don't put your nose all the way down into it, but we kind of hold your nose 2 or 3 inches from the glass and just kind of smell it and enjoy the notes there, enjoy the fragrance, and kind of taste it as you smell it as well. Ben, you have any thoughts before I go to this last question?
No, sounds reasonable.
Ben just thinks you're a wuss for not being able to drink it.
I don't think
And not at 140 proof. Why aren't you drinking Coy Hill?
Let me
three out of the bottle.
Okay. Let me. If someone approached me and was like, "Hey, I want to get into the bourbon. I'm not
into the bourbon.
Into the bourbon, and I'm starting at zero." Well, I would ask them where they're coming from. If they're coming from like fruity cocktails, right? Or yeah, they come from fruity cocktails. I would say, all right, we'll start with an old fashioned, and then you just taper back that recipe over time till it's pretty much just only whiskey, right?
Sean
and then, yeah, Sean, nosing is sometimes the best part of whiskey. Yeah,
for sure. Yes,
totally agree with that. If they're coming from like maybe gin and vodka, and they have enjoyed like Moscow mules, then just do like a Kentucky mule. And put bourbon in that, right? Just acclimate them to what they're kind of used to with bourbon, and then you kind of slowly transition that way. That's the way. That's my only intro. My always is my intro to that. If you don't know have any bourbon experience, old fashioned, super sweet, super approachable. That's it.
Yeah.
Start cocktails, and then just taper that recipe way back.
Well, he's already drinking it with ice, so he's not starting from scratch. But I
see okay. Just kidding. I was my phone. I didn't listen to anything.
So I couldn't hear the question. Since you don't like it with ice, put ice in it and then also add sugar and bitters. It's great.
Oh, if you don't like it with ice, then just take the ice out. Thought about that? Jeez. I'm drinking it with ice. I don't like it. Well, then just stop drinking it with ice.
Have you ever thought about removing the ice?
Yeah. I drink bourbon right now with ice. I don't like the ice. Okay. Simple solution. Stop it.
Okay. World to view. Which bourbons do you recommend as having an investment quality that I can store for my boys to have when they reach 21 years old?
Good.
His boys sound like they're 8 years old. He says 13 years from now.
Okay. Okay. I got it.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Take ice out.
Okay. So in my head, you're saying that I want to buy something right now. Invest in this bottle, save it for 13 years, right? And then are we selling it because it's an investment?
Or to drink with his boys when they turn 21.
Okay. Anything with a labeled date on it. So if you want to go budget, I have a Evan Williams single barrel with my son's birthday as its dump date on that bottle. Blanton's, if you want to go a little bit more, Blanton's has that. How about pretty much every store pick gives you a dump date or a lot of single barrels. How about this Jack Daniel's, you know, annual release? All of those have dates on it. I don't like using the word investment for buying bottles of whiskey, mostly because that implies you buying it now and then selling it later. Well, then we just actually invest that money in something and then using that to that money later to buy a really awesome bottle together. So if the intention is, if the intention is selling it and then using that money later to buy a great bottle, then you just buy a Pappy now at even at way overpriced and you sit on it for 13 years, a 13 year old bottle of Pappy is going to be way more than it is today. Anyway,
I see what you're saying by that. I think the way you're saying that is like almost like a personal investment where like it's going to be worth more to him in 13 years than it is worth to him.
Anything with a date. Anything with a date with your son's name on it. The problem though is already eight.
Yeah, finding the specific date of his birth is going to be tough. Not impossible. Another suggestion is find like a store pick or something of something that you guys have in common and get that. I've talked about this Kobe Bryant bottle, obviously a hero of mine. I named my son Bryant. I got one of these to drink now, one of these to drink when he turns 21. To me, that's a cool thing, right? There are similar things like that where different groups or different stores do store picks and they get a little crazy. I've seen them with Star Wars stuff on there. I've seen them with Disney stuff on there. I've seen them with just, you know, the Lightning won the Stanley Cup and Jimmy and them had one with the Lightning on the back of it. I've seen ones for the Bucks winning the Super Bowl. You know, if you and your maybe a Florida, this was on a Florida State board, maybe a Florida State ever wins something again, well, maybe put women's soccer on the back of one of those and you and your sons can bond over women's soccer. So I don't know, find something that you guys kind of like together that may be part of a pick and go with that. Otherwise, yeah, Ben's date suggestion would be kind of my first one for sure. Brendan?
It's good. No, those are all good suggestions. I think there's going to be a baseline of quality to what you know like right now. So something that's kind of unique. And when I hear investment, I think you're talking about an emotional investment more than a financial one. But also, like, you want to try to get something, I think, that you're going to be proud of in 13 years from now. And so that you think, project, like, could hold up well. So something that I would say, like, that's going to fit the single barrel realm, that's going to hit a quality realm, that's going to have a date on it, and that you think that's going to appreciate in value when you open it up and be like, you know, this is a really good bottle that's probably worth a good, you know, amount of money 13 years from now that I'm opening. Yeah, I think Four Roses single barrels are really good pick because, one, you can find it. Now, it's not easy to find, but you can stumble on one of these every year or so. And like Ben said, something with bottle on date could add extra value to it. For me, this says October 10th, 2019. Now, my grandpa wasn't born in 2019, obviously, but he was born on October 10th. I'm October 11th. So we always were one day apart with our birthdays. And like the way, like when I was turning 18, he'd be turning 81. And our like numbers, ages were always kind of inverse and stuff like that. Ooh. So yeah, it's cool, right? So it always like they would always add up to the same age. So anyways, this is a bottle that I will drink on his birthday every single year now. I've only had this for a couple of years. So I've only had a couple pours. But this is for my Papa Kane and one that like I'll think and reflect on him. He was a big part of my life. And we'll drink this and think of him. So, like, yeah, you can find something cool that means something to you. Hold it, sit on it, value it, and enjoy it when the time arrives.
I will say, if you I like the idea. I think I have three bottles right now that I'm just literally holding on to and not drinking. They're two Blantons and then that Kobe one, two, that Good Times. I love the way Brendan's doing it too. Just for, you know, and I know this is not what you specifically asked for, but where he takes a drink of it ever so. I mean, that'll last you. If you really just took a drink of that only on that one day, that should last you 25 years. Yeah.
If you're pouring an ounce a year, that's 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and if you do two, you know, two, you might be at 12 or 15 or so. But
what are you trying to say? Did I drink a lot?
Yeah, I do. Yes. But anyway, I like that idea too. You know, if you,
Papa Kane was Irish.
Yeah.
Just saying.
So anyway.
R.I.P.
Good. Rest in peace, Papa Kane. I barely knew you. Pursuits and purchases. Brendan saw some BS. Brendan, your favorite part of the show?
Oh, I did see some. Don't zoom in on me. I hate it so much. I think I went over the pursuits in, but
can
I
we get closer?
Can we get closer to Brendan?
Can you get closer to the thing? Thank you.
I think what I actually purchased. No, I don't like that. Last week I showed you guys. So I was doing just some hunting this past week, and there's again a limited option of local shops, and I think sometimes I can kind of force like prices to be driven up because like no one's really there to keep you in check. I saw a Colonel E.H. Taylor single barrel at $300.
I bought three of them.
And then?
Just drank them.
Oh.
What a deal.
Yeah, high money. I saw at the same store an Old Ezra 7, which is solid. I like it a lot. It used to be a great value, and then it got put like an ABC vault, and I think it became like a bad value, especially now like where it's been driven
that's
up
in
a
the
little
vault?
Bit. It's been taken out of the vault because okay, I thought people like it, like
jeez, what a
it
nightmare.
Was really good for the price point of about like $60.
I've been saving up all year for my vault pick. I got an Ezra 7.
It was a good barrel strength whiskey, and the market got skewed a little bit here in Florida. Eagle Rare was in the vault too. But I do love some ABC stuff. Just some of the vault stuff got a little carried away. But anyways, I saw this at a local shop for $99, which was for a 7-year, $115.
Dollars.
Come on, guys. Like, I get that you set some prices high for people to haggle with you. You want to have some wiggle room there. But it can't be so high to where I don't even want to talk to you about it. That being said, I've seen them. They've sold like a George T. Stagg at like $800 there before. Or they just put it in the back. They sold a Michter's barrel strength rye like at 250, 300 before. So like clearly it works for them. It's just it is frustrating as a consumer with limited options, and you want to support local people to feel like you're not getting supported back. What's funny, Ben? What's so funny? Let's see what the private chat says.
You man, you're so funny.
Over an hour. Well, you know what? Sometimes you go long.
Yeah. Just said. For that, I've got some more to talk about.
Talk to me.
If you, you know, to be fair, Ben is holding a mic for an hour. That's got to be pretty.
Oh, I've got that mic in my garage. You can have, bro. What the heck?
I keep saying that, but every time I come over, it's always forgotten.
Yeah, obviously, don't love to see prices like that.
With you,
I actually watched a really, really good video on. I'll say I've been guilty of this. I watched a really, really good video on why it is.
Ben, this is a great episode. I don't know what you're complaining about.
I'm not complaining about anything.
Like I watched a great video on why it's bad to just walk into a store and do you have anything allocated? Okay. And then walk back out. Like, and it was a very well done video. It was put into one of the groups that I'm in on Facebook. And it basically just kind of explained, you know, what liquor store owners have to do to get allocated bottles, why they end up, you know, saving those for people that come in and shop often at their store, which is no different than what ABC does. But ABC just does it in a way that, you know, is trackable, but you have to spend X amount at ABC to be able to get access to their allocated bottles. It's the same thing as a liquor store. So if you transition your $2,000 a year of buying to your local guy instead of your ABC, then he'd do the same thing for you, you know? And explain why they had to do that potentially, right? You build that relationship, you make yourself seen, things like that. But it said basically everything in this video can be thrown out the window if stores raise their prices to above secondary. And that's to me, that's the dividing line, right? Like if Michter's 10 retails at what, 150? And its secondary is at 220, 240, 250. If that's in a store for 200, I'm not like crying foul. It's probably still too much for me to buy it because to be very fair with you, it doesn't even really have trade value in that for me because like I consider my time in trading it. I consider my shipping and I consider my time in getting it, bringing all, everything else.
Even not that you'd ever ship bourbon.
It's illegal.
You know, I just have a great arm. I throw it. No, but it really doesn't even have like trade value at that cost, but I wouldn't get that upset about that, right? For $200. When it's $400 and it's like above secondary, I'm like, what's even the point? Like, I'll just go on a secondary. I'll just get a secondary. Mm-hmm. If it's above that. So
yeah,
that stuff drives me nuts. You said that EHO steel barrel, that's well over secondary.
Right. Yeah, so what's the point of supporting this local shop if I can go and buy it on the internet for $100 less than that, or $50 less? Or if we want to, like, hey, I buy a couple of these bottles and then I'll buy this. Like, it's so high up there, there's not even a negotiating starting point. So that was my
talk them down to secondary, and then it's like, well, I could just have it shipped to my house for free. So all right, Ben, I don't have any pursuits and purchases. Haven't bought anything. I haven't been drinking whiskey this month.
Yeah, I haven't really been doing anything like that either. So I got nothing.
You guys should have like a nice bottle purchase to have open when you finish your whole 30 that you're working so diligently on.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I was just going to drink some of your stuff when I come up to Tallahassee at the end of the month.
Can't wait.
Seems like a good plan. Shout out Jimmy for coming on tonight, talking to us about Gaspers. Shout out Tommy in the comments as well. We need to get Tommy on here from Davidoff. We've chatted with him.
Yes.
I want to do something at Davidoff as well. Shout out Tommy for the drinks today as well. Find us on social media. It's everywhere, Bourbon on the Budget. We'll be back on Thursday to review. We don't know what quite yet, but I'm sure Brendan has something great.
Scout it out.
Cheers.
For myself.